Good morning, everyone. Well, we can't actually report if there are empty boxes in Rick Wagoner's office, who is reportedly out as the head of General Motors. General Motors, you may know, is located in the Renaissance Center in Detroit, but Renaissance may not be the word auto workers and people of Detroit would use for the announcement from the Obama administration later on this morning. In about 4 hours, the Obama administration is set to unveil its so-called restructuring plan for the troubled auto industry. It will deal with GM and Chrysler. And last night, one of the conditions for that auto restructuring plan to move forward apparently was the ouster of GM's chief executive, Rick Wagoner. We turn to our partners at the New York Times to elaborate on this story and to figure out what it actually means. Micheline Maynard is senior business correspondent for the New York Times. She joins us from Detroit. And Cheryl Gay Stolberg is the White House correspondent for the New York Times. And she joins us from Washington. Micheline and Cheryl, thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
Thank you.
So, Mickey, let's in some sense, it's not a surprise that Wagoner leaves, but it is a surprise that he leaves this late in the game, it seems to me. What's the reaction?
Well, I think if he were going to leave, I guess these are the circumstances under which he would leave, because he had vowed not to take General Motors into Chapter 11, and the Obama administration seems to be hinting very strongly that that's where GM may end up. I think yesterday Detroit was very much in shock, and you have to remember that Michigan State had just won their NCAA game, and people were in the mood to celebrate that and turned around and saw that Rick Wagoner was out.
It seems, Cheryl, is there some sort of political dimension to Wagoner leaving in that they don't want this to end up with a AIG-like backstory about some executive somewhere getting a high salary or some kind of a bonus or some reward for bad behavior?
Well, I think obviously there's a public sensitivity to the sentiment that the government is pouring billions of dollars of taxpayer money into firms that haven't been run well, and the president himself has been saying this. He complained last week that the auto industry has engaged in mismanagement. So I think the feeling was that, as the White House officials say, they needed a clean sheet, but you might state it more simply that somebody's head had to roll.
Well, Cheryl, is this beginning to evolve into a kind of jobs program for Michigan that is a little bit independent of saving GM and Chrysler? We see in the Chrysler announcement that they either have to find a partner in Fiat or go away, it seems to me. That's the fine print here.
Well, I think the administration is rightly concerned that if these companies go under, the ripple effects will be vast. And so while the administration concluded that the companies are not currently viable, the president has decided he wants to step in anyway and give them a little bit more time to right themselves, because they do not want a chaotic, freewheeling bankruptcy where the companies collapse right away. So, this is also Wall Street versus Main Street, right? This is Main Street.
Now, we've been asking people all morning if they wanted to take the job at GM, what would they do? And one of our listeners called us at 877-8-MY-TAKE and said, what I'd do is fire all the UAW employees because they called this. They caused all of this problem. Micheline Maynard, what is the UAW's reaction to Wagoner's departure, and are they sort of standing alone now?
Well, as far as I know, they haven't reacted, and GM only confirmed it in the middle of the night. So I guess we'll be hearing more about that later today. The interesting thing about this is that Ford workers, and Ford is not asking for federal money, Ford workers have already given concessions to the company. We talked to one last week who said he estimates it's going to cost him about $12,000 this year in lost benefits. But the GM and Chrysler workers have never stepped up to give concessions because they were waiting for the bondholders to give concessions. And essentially the administration has said, you know, we want this done in 60 days at GM and 30 days at Chrysler, or we're not giving you any more money.
Now, let's just talk for 2 seconds from your perspective, Mickey, about Chrysler. There's no way the administration is going to bail out the private equity firm Cerberus that owns Chrysler, so it's Fiat or nothing, right?
Essentially, they gave them 30 days to conclude a deal with Fiat or another partner. Well, you're not going to have time in 30 days to find another partner. The only possibility might be General Motors if at some point somebody decides we're better off combining the two of them than propping up Chrysler.
Cheryl, is there any sort of talk, and you know, this is kind of wildly speculative. I know you Times people don't like to be dragged into my sort of bizarre flights of fancy, and you know, you can tell me to go away if you like, but I'm just wondering if there's some option here for a much broader nationalization of the car industry, because Barack Obama talks about fuel-efficient vehicles in America. Maybe General Motors isn't the company to get us to fuel-efficient electric vehicles, but some combination of Ford, GM, sort of high-techie divisions with everything else jettisoned might be. Is there any talk of something as broad as that?
I'm going to wave you away from the word nationalization, because I think the president and his aides have made very clear that what they want is a private auto industry that is streamlined and profitable. But I wouldn't wave you away from the idea that we could have fewer companies. The president is thinking very broadly about this, his advisors say. And I think in the administration's case, if that means fewer car companies making, you know, green vehicles and being more competitive and also being profitable, that's fine with them. They just want the industry on a long-term path to viability, and currently they don't see that.
Micheline, is there some way that the administration could possibly reconstitute a U.S. auto industry to make fuel-efficient cars using resources from GM, Chrysler, I don't know, maybe even you know, some of the workers who work for Toyota and Nissan?
No, I agree with Cheryl that I don't think we're going to see National Motors or anything like that. But what this president can do, and you know, may even do today or later on, later down the road, is say, I want vehicles to get X miles per gallon. I want them to hit these kinds of CO2 targets. You know, and I will give tax incentives to Americans to buy those kinds of cars. So he can reshape kind of the offerings that are on the road. Think about the EPA back in the 1970s. They said that we had to have fuel economy, and a lot of those big cars with fins, you know, and tailpipes went away. So a president can do a lot. We've never seen, you know, in my adult lifetime, we've never seen a president do this. But it's going to be very fascinating to watch.
So, Mickey, take a look at the Detroit Free Press this morning, if you can. Is the top headline the Michigan State making the Final Four, or is it Wagoner's ouster?
Well, I haven't seen it because this is the first day in Detroit that there's no home delivery.
Wow.
Yes, and what a terrible week to start that program. There's only going to be home delivery on 3 days. But on the web, you can bet that it's Rick Wagoner. Unfortunately, I think in any other circumstances, it would be Michigan State.
Well, that is such a, I mean, if that sentence right there doesn't typify what's going on in Detroit on so many levels, that's very, very memorable. Okay, so
John, yeah. I would love this to be the day that I go outside and get those two newspaper bags and keep those newspapers, but I'm going to have to go driving around looking for the copies that they make available because my home delivery stopped on a daily basis yesterday.
Well, Cheryl Gay Stolberg, let's talk about what this 11 o'clock briefing is going to look like. We saw when the president rolled out his Afghanistan policy last week that the entire national security team was arrayed behind him. It was certainly no Rumsfeld moment talking about foreign policy. Is it going to be a similar kind of tableau, do you think, at 11 o'clock when the president outlines the auto restructuring details?
You know, they haven't shared the details of their stagecraft with me, despite my trying to get it. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's flanked by his advisors, his economics advisors. I wouldn't be surprised if Larry Summers is there, but also Stephen Ratner and Ron Blum, the former investment bankers who have really become Barack Obama's car czars. And they've put a lot of work into examining the condition of these companies and assessing their viability, and their were documents released by the White House late last night giving their conclusions. I think it will be a sober statement. It will be the president himself speaking. He goes off tomorrow to Europe and the G20, and already we're seeing concerns in the stock market about the viability of the auto industry and worries that the G20 won't be productive enough. So I think the president will use the full power of his platform to deliver this news in as positive a way as he can.
And before we leave, let's not forget, Cheryl, that you know, this is much closer to Barack Obama's heart. Even though Geithner and the banks and all the sort of AIG headlines have dominated for the last couple weeks, it's this auto restructuring that's really more where Obama's head and heart are, correct?
Well, I think so, because it involves American workers. And, you know, he's trying to be the president of the little guy. But as Micheline said, There needs to be concessions all the way around, and that's what he's making clear. So there needs to be concessions from big folks, big fat cats, you might
right.
say, and we've
right.
seen one very public one already. But
right.
there also needs to be concessions from the unions.
All right, Cheryl and Micheline, thanks so much. Micheline Maynard is senior business correspondent for The New York Times, and Cheryl Gay-Stolberg is the White House correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks.